Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Thursday, November the 7th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. This is our top story today. A coroner has ruled that a father of six tragically took his own life after being found dead at Ashford Rugby Club earlier this year. Well, Finn joins me now with more on this story. Finn, thanks ever so much for being on the podcast. Can you tell us a bit more about the days leading up to this?
Well, it's like you said, Luke Greenaway was a father of six. His body was discovered at Ashford Rugby Club earlier this year in June. Now, even though he sold his mobile phone and his bike in the week of his death and even split with his partner, his family didn't have concerns with his mental health in the week leading up to the incident. According to coroner Katrina Hepburn, alcohol and drugs were found in his system, which, combined with his downward spiral, showed a state of poor mental health. It also seems like he had some health concerns at the time with breathing and suspected COPD, which stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And although no clear intentions to harm himself were made to friends or family in the evening before, his messages apparently showed something was playing on his mind.
Tragically, Luke was only 33. What have his family said?
His mum, Rose, has said she doesn't want anyone to judge Luke because of what the inquest might show. She described him as having the biggest heart after his death, that he was funny, loud and protective of those he cared about. She went on to say that he had many problems throughout his life, including relationships, grief, physical health, financial problems and addiction, which all played a part in him taking his own life. She added that all he ever wanted was to be loved and part of a family. Ashford Rugby Club chairman John Norman also paid tribute to Luke, saying, "We were very sad to hear from the police about what happened and would like to send our sincere condolences to all family and friends of the deceased."
Finn, thank you ever so much. Our thoughts are very much with Luke's family.
Kent Online News.
At the top stories for you today, and a man who used a metal gas canister as a weapon during violent attacks in Maidstone has been jailed for more than 6 years. Lachlan Pritchard targeted two strangers on Lower Stone Street in May before stealing a takeaway delivery driver's car to escape. The 25-year-old from Cheltenham in Gloucestershire admitted various offences, including possessing an offensive weapon. A drug dealer from Sittingbourne has been ordered to pay £150,000 or spend more time in prison. Bradley Hewitt's currently serving 10 years after admitting buying and selling large amounts of cocaine and cannabis. Police say the 38-year-old from Bapchild shouldn't continue to benefit from illegally earned funds. A Sheerness man who made a series of racist posts on Facebook has been ordered to do unpaid work. Joseph Wheatley put the obscene comments on socials about Muslims and admitted a charge of sending an offensive message in court. The 43-year-old from Swale Avenue told magistrates he was going through a bad time when it happened. A man's been arrested in Kent as part of an operation to target people smuggling and human trafficking. 9 people have been detained in total for offences carried out in France, Germany, Belgium and Romania. Extradition proceedings are ongoing. Now, reaction is continuing to come in following Donald Trump's victory in the US presidential election. Joe Biden is due to speak later today before meeting Mr. Trump for the transition of power, which won't become official until January. World leaders have been congratulating the incoming president, and we've been out in Rochester to find out what some of you think.
Devastated. I just can't believe somebody that's a felon has got in, and people are so stupid and gullible in America. I'm heartsick. I'm really, really, that's really dreadful. I'm really worried about him with Israel. I think, is he going to go gung-ho, keep helping Israel and then cause a war? So, oh no, this is terrible news.
To be fair, my personal preference was Donald Trump. I thought he's a bit of a straight-talking guy. He does seem to get things done. I don't really know too much about the other, Kamala Harris, don't really know too much about her, but yeah, my preference was Donald Trump anyway.
I feel that he's after a dictatorship. I don't think you're ever going to get rid of him. I don't think he's going to be just someone ruling like people do for a certain term and then bow out and let somebody else have an election later on, you know, as we usually do.
Oh my God. Well, it's the toss-up between a progressive feminist woman
and a convicted felon. It's a bit of a weird choice for a country to make, but it is America.
Kent Online reports.
A woman's suffered burns after a fire at a flat in Folkestone. Crews in two engines were called to Sandgate Road yesterday lunchtime. It's not known yet how it started. A pub on Romney Marsh has lost its licence after concerns from police it was serving alcohol outside of hours. Officers have been called to a disturbance at the Star Inn at St Mary in the Marsh back in June. Councillors have now decided to revoke the licence. However, the venue can appeal. A man's been arrested after suspected drugs and weapons were seized in Dover. A knife, slingshot and razor blades were found in a vehicle parked on Buckland Avenue last Friday night. A 41-year-old from Deal has been questioned and bailed. Now, next today, a debate is taking place after thousands of people signed a petition calling for a Kent Family Centre to stay open. The County Council is planning to close Seashells in Sheerness and move some of the services it provides elsewhere. Now, the centre was used by almost 3,000 families last year. Simon Finlay is our local democracy reporter.
There will be a protest today outside County Hall because Seashells Family Centre in Sheerness is going to lose the KCC-funded services that it provides to local people and possibly be moved elsewhere. Now, this has caused a huge amount of controversy, and 6,000 people plus have signed a petition, and that, because of the numbers, has triggered a debate which will be heard at the meeting this afternoon at full council. So there will probably be quite a few people attending, and a lot of passions have been raised by this. Kent County Council has to find savings of tens of millions of pounds every year because they're not sufficiently funded by central government. So they have to get rid of things like discretionary services. And one of these things are the very nice sort of well-being and family practices that are offered at places like Seashells, and they're just seen as a cost saving. And it's not just Seashells, there's the Millmead Centre in Thanet as well, which is suffering a similar sort of fate.
Now, today's meeting can't decide to keep the centre open. However, campaigners hope councillors will rethink their decision.
Kent Online reports.
There's a warning if you live in Dover after a woman's handbag was stolen during a suspected distraction burglary at a home. A man called at the property on St Radigan's Road yesterday and went to inspect the taps in the kitchen. The resident later noticed property had been taken, possibly by a second suspect. A suspected drug dealer's appeared in court after wraps of what are thought to be heroin were found in Margate. Police searched a property in Clarendon Road on Monday following an investigation. A 36-year-old is due at Crown Court next month. An historic home in Kent could be converted into a boutique hotel and restaurant. Plans have been put in for a £20 million investment in Greenbridge Place near Tunbridge Wells. Now, bosses of luxury hotel brand The Pig say if it's all approved, the venue will have 56 guest bedrooms and a spa facility. Next on the podcast today, and we've been told that male referrals to a Kent domestic abuse charity have increased by 60% over the past year. Ashford's Dads Unlimited say shows like Baby Reindeer and the pressure of the cost of living could be leading more men to seek help. Gemma Lawson is their head of mental health, and she's been speaking to Lucy on Male Domestic Abuse Awareness Day.
I think there's multiple reasons why we hear about male victims of domestic abuse less. And I think sometimes it falls into that trap of being a comparison. And we absolutely don't want that. Goodness me, we work with male victims, and that's not to invalidate anybody else. People of all genders can be a victim of domestic abuse. We just provide a specialist service for men that are victims. And I think probably it's very much rooted in stigma and societal norms that see domestic abuse as men always being the perpetrator and females always being the victim.
Yeah, in your experience, is it quite hard for men to almost admit that they are the victim of domestic abuse and to come forward and seek that help?
I think sometimes. I think some guys will, you know, be like, this is what I'm experiencing. And some people have like these amazing support systems around them that will say, this is what I think's going on and I think you need to get support for it. But then some guys don't realise, and then that realisation can be really challenging.
And in terms of that kind of awareness, how important is this day when we kind of do recognise this and talk about this and maybe start that conversation for some men?
Yeah, I think it's really important. So it will be, I think it's the third one of this sort of awareness day. So it's really important. I think that in itself shows that potentially it's not spoken about that much. And I think awareness is certainly increasing, which is amazing. And I think it's really important that we have those conversations, but also talk about where to get support. Because talking sort of the first stage, isn't it? You then need to be able to know where to go and how to get help. So that recognition is sort of part one, if you like. So I think it's really important that we open up these conversations and that for men to support maybe their, you know, friends, family, if they're listening to a friend in the pub that's talking about an experience, to be able to sort of think, oh, actually, you know, that doesn't sound quite right. Let me soundboard that back to you and have a chat about what you're experiencing and talk about what support you might be able to get. I just think, you know, it's important that we're providing safe spaces to have these conversations. We've certainly seen an influx in referrals recently. If we look to right now, compared to this time last year, I think we've had about a 60% increase in our referrals. So it's really prevalent.
Why do you think you've seen that rise? Is there any kind of ideas behind why more men are reaching out for support?
There's been a lot of more sort of awareness in media. So, of course, on Netflix, Baby Reindeer, and then there was the Channel 5 documentary, My Wife, My Abuser. So I think that has increased awareness, certainly. So I think that contributes.
Kent Online News.
Pie and mash shop owners in Kent have welcomed calls to give the dish protected status. It's been dubbed the original fast food and started in London's East End in the 1800s. Now the government's being urged to give it the same protections as the Cornish pasty and Bramley apple pie. And Kent's JB Gill has praised his Strictly partner Amy Dowden for her fight and determination after she had to leave the show. The pro dancer suffered a foot injury and had only recently returned after cancer treatment. The JLS singer will continue in the contest with Lauren Oakley.
Kent Online Sport.
Now, major plans have been announced today to develop a karting circuit in Kent. Bosses at Buckmore Park near Chatham want to build a facility known at the moment as the Paddock. We're told the two buildings would include a state-of-the-art simulator room along with a restaurant, bar and viewing terrace. Well, I've been speaking to Leonora Martel-Surtees, who's the track's co-owner and the daughter of racing legend John Surtees.
This is going to be a large motorsport venue, catering for really large events, for our existing motorsport events that we have as well, that we're kind of currently reaching capacity for. So our owner drivers in particular. We're also going to have a state-of-the-art 18-seat motion simulator room. So really wanting to bring us, you know, up to speed with everything that we're doing to support drivers on their journey into motorsport.
I think that was the bit that kind of intrigued me the most about that side of it. Is it kind of, I suppose, embracing new technology and helping drivers get better before they actually go out onto the track? Is that what that's all about?
Absolutely, that's part of it. So this summer, we actually launched our driver development program, which is a week-long program which covers everything from racing, both in our own leisure carts and also more owner-driver style carts as well, to nutrition, psychology, and everything that is also, we know, really important for developing our young drivers. And we've got such a great pedigree at Buckmore Park with the likes of Jenson Button and Lewis Hamilton having raced with us, but also most recently Lando Norris and also Ollie Bearman now, which is really exciting that we've got such a long history of supporting these great drivers to come up through the ranks. So it's partly that. And that will allow more space for this simulator centre, which is such a big part now of motorsport and helping these drivers to develop their skills and their racecraft. And it will also be more on the commercial side as well with some events and things such as F1 follow-alongs in our sports bar. And we're going to have a large, around about 180-seat restaurant. So, you know, it's going to be a really multi-purpose space that will be for those pursuing careers in motorsport, but also for our customers, leisure customers, corporate customers as well.
Obviously, COVID was a huge concern for everybody, but also the cost of living crisis. And motorsport, let's be fair, it's not cheap to get involved in. Has that always been at the back of your mind? And is that something that you perhaps think of and you try to help with that and to make it as accessible as possible?
It is always something at the forefront of our mind. I mean, motorsport as a career has many barriers to it, and the financial barriers are probably the largest. Unfortunately, there are so many talented drivers out there that just won't make it because of funding. However, for us at the grassroots level, even though we are at a premium level in terms of the experience, so we are proud to be considered the best outdoor track in the UK, we are really conscious of making sure that we're being competitive with other venues. And that's also one of the reasons that when we did our driver development program, we offered a scholarship. So we offered one fully funded place, because we do recognise that actually a lot of families are having challenges at the moment, and we want to try and support the best talent, not just those people that can afford it. So that is always a consideration when we're looking at things like pricing. And this new venue, you know, it will very much be a venue not just for racers, but for motorsport fans. So actually to come down to watch the race with your parents, if that's something that you like, you know, Drive to Survive has been such a huge thing that families have embraced. So actually F1 is now kind of coming back into home. So if people can, you know, it's quite a low cost activity to do, to come down to us, you know, watch the F1, have some drinks, have some dinner, and just enjoy it with other motorsport fans.
What's the next process then? You're saying you're putting the plans in. When would you hope for this building to be ready and for us to be able to go there and enjoy it?
So we are putting the planning permission in December, and we're currently running a consultation. So for people just to directly give us feedback, which will run from the 7th of November to the 5th of December. And people can also view more information and more details at www.buckmore.co.uk/paddock. But once the planning permission is submitted, hopefully all will go well. And then we'll be looking to build from 2026 and then to open late 2027. Obviously, this is a massive state-of-the-art facility, so it's going to take some time. But, you know, that's one of the reasons we're so keen to get and make progress with the planning.
Some people may have guessed from your name that obviously you have a huge history of racing within the family. What do you think your dad would have thought of what's going on at Buckmore?
You know, I sort of have a little smile whenever I think about him, because I am, and this Buckmore development, because I just think this would have been so up his street. You know, Dad loved to see progress and investment and development in drivers and in motorsport and in the grassroots, which he was always quite outspoken about, how grassroots motorsport is often, you know, a bit sort of forgotten. So, you know, he's had various schemes over the years, and actually I'm just delighted that we're able to look at this project, which I think he would think was absolutely fantastic. And also I'm really proud of our driver development program, because that's something that him and I, when we were working together at Buckmore, we spoke about specifically, and with the help of my husband and co-owner Richard, we've really been able to push that forward last year and finally make it happen. So yeah, I think Dad would be really proud, and we've sort of given, you know, there'll be lots of nods to him in the building, but one of the things that we're excited about as we're working with some amazing architects, Morton Scar, who have developed the building based off the sort of golden era of motorsport. So there's a nod to the past with a sort of, you know, a contemporary take on that traditional pit lane that we know and love from places such as Goodwood. So, you know, there definitely will be a nod to my dad and his amazing you know, career in motorsport.
And finally, a Chatham boxer is going to be sparring with Tyson Fury ahead of another big fight in December. Heavyweight Moses Atelma will meet Dempsey McKean in Riyadh next month. The fight's on the undercard of Fury's World Championship rematch against Alexander Usyk. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. Whilst you're on the site today, don't forget to check out our latest Eat My Words food review.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.